I like to begin with raising a question that everybody asks and hopefully sharing one or two approaches to answer the question. The question at the very beginning of the Haggadah of Maggid of Halach Ma'anya Di'achalu Avasana Ba'arad Demitzrayim is somewhat strange in that we're not really so certain that we ate matzah for all of the years we were in Mitzrayim. We did eat matzah the night of Makas Bechoros. We ate matzah. But the theme of matzah is really not the theme of the night of Pesach. It's actually the theme of the next day of Pesach. So that's the first question. We begin with Halach Ma'anya. Why is it so important that we begin the Seder with that statement, with that declaration that the matzah we have in front of us is that which we had in Mitzrayim specifically, and not the matzah that we're going to have later? Number two, the famous question. Kol dechvin yesevi echol. Everybody who's hungry, why we don't invite people when Yontif starts. We invite people after Yontif, before Yontif starts. We invite people in shul. We invite people 2, 3 weeks in advance. We invite people months in advance. What does it mean that we're inviting people at this point? So what I'd like to do is share with these, ask a couple of more questions much later in the Seder, and that will help us at least with one theme that I'd like to develop tonight. And I'm going to share with you a screen. Let's see if we can find this. Okay, so here we have two things that I'd like to point out. Number one is a bracha. This is the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, right over here that we find at the end, and I'll make this a little bit bigger for those who would like. We have the bracha Asher Ga'alanu before we drink the second cup of wine, and we speak about please God, in the future we're going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. We'll eat from the Karbanos for the Karban Pesach, and then we say this phrase Al Kir Asher Yagia Damam Al Kir Mizbachachala Ratzon. I want you to think about what's happening here. Out of all the things we can ask for, we look forward to rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, Bivinyan Irecha V'Sasim Ba'avodasecha. Okay, we're going to eat from the Korban Pesach. I understand it very well. And by the way, I want you to realize the blood of that Korban is going to reach the wall of the Mizbeach L'Ratzon for acceptance, so that Hashem will desire it. The Korban Pesach generally is not a korban brought on a chet. The Korban Pesach, what does that even mean? Why would I even mention that? Why does that even matter? Why does that even matter? And then another point. At the end here, we say the Dayenu, Alachas Kama V'Kama, and then we give a summary of the Dayenu. And so we look at the following phrase. That is, Hashem brought us to Eretz Yisrael, and he built for us the Beis HaMikdash. So we're thankful, Dayenu, for each and every step along the way, and then the summary. Now, why are we thankful that he gave us Shabbos? I don't know, it doesn't say. Why are we thankful that he brought us to Har Sinai? Right? It doesn't really tell us, right? What was the purpose of bringing us across the sea? Doesn't say that. What's the purpose of coming to Eretz Yisrael? Doesn't say that either. But here we're told that, by the way, you know, Hashem built the Beis HaBechir, the Beis HaMikdash, l'chaper al kol avonoseinu, to atone for our sins. Atoning for our sins is not Yom Kippur. What are we doing? It's not Yom Kippur at all. Maybe we'll mention that a little bit later, the Rav's idea of Yom Kippur and Pesach. But here, why am I mentioning L'chaper al-Kol HaNoseinu? What does it have to do with the Seder? So these and several of the questions they made that we could ask, but we'll keep it brief on this particular point. So I think there are two ways to approach this. One idea that happens to be that Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson has said in the past, I've heard him on different occasions, he makes the following point. And then we'll hopefully share another approach. He says that when we speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and this is not only his idea, this is we see this in the, if you read the Baal HaTanya, he has this idea, and many others, that Yitzias Mitzrayim, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo, is an experience, not only a communal experience, not only a national experience, it's a personal experience. Each and every one of us has his or her galus, exile, the feelings we have of being constrained, of being in our Mitzrayim, our Meitzer, our restraints, our shackles that we need to remove, whatever they may be. This year may be more than any other year. We're rethinking, we're reassessing, we're reevaluating our lives, the direction they're taking for ourselves and our children and our families, maybe appreciating things in different ways than we did in the past. And everybody has the Mitzrayim within him or her. And in fact, that should not depress us. That should drive us. It is the Mitzrayim within us, the restraints we have, the feeling that we just want to stay. We don't want to go. We don't want to break ourselves out of it. We're so comfortable in this galus. So we're told in our personal galus, it's time to break out of that. And that galus are our transgressions. That galus is our laziness. That galus are the things that keep us, that don't allow us to rise and reach our potential. That is the Mitzrayim that we experience. And the way to experience Geula, as we know, is to have a Mitzrayim experience. I have to begin with that, and only then can I go through the Geula. So when I say, and I sit down and say, Halach ma'anya di'achalu avasana ba'ar de Mitzrayim, in order to appreciate the Geula, the matzah of the Geula, I have to feel the matzah of the galus. In fact, the Bnei Yisachar says that why do we say Pesach, matzah, umarur? It's out of order. It's out of order. So he says it's not out of order. Because you put it in order and you say maror first, you say, oh, okay, that's the past and now I'm in the future. No, it's sometimes maror. I want you to appreciate maror is last. Because it's only when I experience the maror that I now look back at the geula that I have and I appreciate it more. There's a greater debt of gratitude. It's through the maror that I appreciate the geula. And sometimes only if the maror is later, is mentioned later, after the two others, can now I look back and say, you know, now I appreciate what the Pesach is. Now I appreciate what the matzah is. So too, we begin the Seder. This is the matzah that we ate in Mitzrayim. I'm going through that experience now in my own personal life. I'm Bein HaMitzarim. I'm in Mitzrayim. I feel the chains that are upon me, and I need to release them. I need my own personal geula. One of the areas where we have a very difficult time is our ability to break out of our routine, to break out not only of our Bein Adam Lachmakom laziness, but it's our Bein Adam Lachavera. When can I fully appreciate someone who is in need when I am in need? So Kol Dichvin Yesevi Yechul is not, I'm not inviting anyone now. I'm not, because it's too late. But you know why I didn't invite anyone for the Seder? Because I wanted to be by myself. Because I wasn't interested in reaching out to other people. Because I didn't really feel a sense with that people were in need. But now I'm in need. Now I'm sitting in Mitzrayim. And now I can appreciate what it means that someone feels that they need something. And I reach out. Now, Kol Dichvin Yesevi. My invitation is very different. There's a passion now. There's an emotional sense that there are people who really, as many people who need to come into the house, they can come into my house. I only feel that after putting myself in that situation. But it's very hard. It's very difficult for us to do that. We have to break out of that gullus mentality in our own spiritual lives. But we can do it. We can find the holiness within us. And that's this statement. Ubana lanu es beis habechira. Where besides maybe the Meiri and the Rambam, Parshas Re'eh says the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, when do we call the Beis HaMikdash the Beis HaBechira? Rarely do we call it the Beis HaBechira. But it's the Beis HaBechira because our life is a choice. I have the ability to choose. It's not easy. I feel I'm in Mitzrayim. I'm more comfortable. I'd like to stay here. I know I couldn't. I have a great spiritual potential and I'm not tapping into it, but Mitzrayim is comfortable. I don't want to leave. Ubana Laros Beis HaBechira. Hashem built us. There's a mikdash within me. That mikdash is my bechira, is my choice. And if I make that choice, I'll be in a different place. And that can be mechaper al kol avon oseinu, all of those sins that make me feel like that I'm still in Mitzrayim. That personal exile, whatever those the personality traits that I need to rid myself of, I really need to remove those chains from me. That feeling of captivity, so I can choose to leave. That's the Beis HaBechira. That's the Kedusha within us. And that's the Chaper Lo Kol Avonoseinu. And therefore, when we speak about the bringing the Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, so listen to a comment of the Aruch HaShulchan in his Haggad Olel Shimra. I'm going to say something else beautiful from him in a couple of minutes. Listen to what he says. He says, what is this phrase, Al Kir Mizbachacha L'Ratzon? What's that about? He says, I'll tell you why. He says, L'Ratzon. That's in the, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be L'Ratzon, right? After all, the Korban Pesach, Hu L'Ratzon, listen to this, Shaharei, I don't have it on here, Shaharei Eino Ba'al Chait, right? The Korban Pesach doesn't come for a transgression. Amnam Zehu Pesach Doros. Yes, that's the Pesach Doros. That's the future Pesach. But Avol Pesach Mitzrayim, the Korban Pesach we did in Mitzrayim, Halolu of the Avodah Zarah, V'Halolu of the Avodah Zarah. We were worshiping idols. There were a few things we were able to maintain our identity, our Jewish identity. But in other areas, there was great depravity. Avol Pesach Mitzrayim Hayom Balechaper Alaveros Sha'asu B'Mitzrayim Al Krod Damai Chayi. There was so much that we had, we were wallowing in our blood. That was, we were at a point, we weren't wearing any of the the beautiful pearls and diamonds that Yechezkel speaks about in the 16th Perek that are referenced and reflected in the Seder. V'haya Ke'en Karban Chatas. But in the future, we hope that it's going to hit the Mizbeach. There it was the Mashkov, because our homes were Tomei. Our homes were our places of Avodah Zarah. So there it was on the Mashkov and the Mezuzos, because that was a Karban Chatas. But we hope that this is L'Ratzon. This is the Kir of the Mizbeach in the future. You know where that is? That's in the Beis HaBechira. That's in the Beis HaMikdash. That's my choice. If I pull myself out of Pesach Mitzrayim, that house, Diachalu Avasana Ba'ard Mitzrayim, and I now have, there's a religious fervor to invite people into my home and live a life of real geula, of spiritual geula, and I choose the Beis HaMikdash, I choose Kedusha, and it's a choice, it's a Beis HaBechira, to be Mechaper of the Avonot that I had in Mitzrayim, now I'm in a different place. And that's this phrase, it's not sufficient that there's a national redemption. There needs to be this personal, the nefesh, the neshama also has to go through that process. That is Pesach. That's the personal experience of Pesach. That's Halach Ma'anya. That's Kol Dichvin. That's Al Kir Mizbachacha L'Ratzon. That's Uvana Lanos Beis HaBechira L'Chaper Al Kol Avonoseinu. On this topic, it's very relevant that we mention this once I'm in this paragraph. And why is that? Because although Sfaria doesn't have the double girsa, you take a look at your Haggadah, I would imagine that the majority of the Haggadahs will say, in your Haggadah on this phrase. I'm sure many of you know what I'm about to say. It will say this year, when the Seder comes on Saturday night, on Motzei Shabbos, you're going to switch the order and you're going to say Min HaPsachim Umin HaZvachim. You take a look, if you have Haggadah in front of you, you'll see it. On Motzei Shabbos, you're going to switch the order. What's that all about? What's that all about? So the simple understanding of it is as follows, and the Aruch HaShulchan also explained this in the Leil Shimurim. What are these karbanos? I'm looking forward to a time when we have a Beis HaMikdash, and I'm going to eat from the Zvachim and the Psachim. What are the Zvachim and the Psachim? So the answer is, I'll tell you, Karban Pesach, everybody knows what that is. Before you ate the Karban Pesach, I think Rabbi Yadler mentioned, made this point, there was what was called the Chagigas Yudalid. The Chagigas Yudalid was a carbon that was slaughtered on the 14th if you needed it. If you needed it. Why would you need it? Because you have to eat the carbon Pesach. That last Kezayis, you have to be full. Al Hasova. Why Al Hasova? So different opinions, but Tosros and Maseches Psachim Adaf Ayin claims it's a Gezera de Rabbanon, Shelo Lishbor Soetzem of Shviras Etzem. We don't want to break the bones. We're not allowed to break the bones. That's a famous comment of the Sefer Achinuch. Acharei ha-pu'ulos dimshachos ha-levavos. Act free and you will be free. Act like a king and you'll be a king. Don't break the bones. Poor people break the bones. We don't break the bones. We don't chew on the bones. How do I make sure I don't chew on the bones? That there's so much food? So you have a Karban Pesach. You have a Karban Pesach. It's within its first year. How much meat is on it? Well, how many people are coming to the Seder? 5, 10, 20, 30, depends. So if you have a small Seder, so the likelihood is you'll have your matzah, your maror, and a nice piece of steak of the Karban Pesach, and you'll be fine and full. That last kezayis you're going to eat, you'll be very full. So you'll eat it a la sova, you won't break any bones, you don't need any extra carbon. But for those who may have a lot of people, so then the likelihood is, you know how much meat you're going to get? You know the fancier the weddings, you know what I'm talking about. The fancier the weddings, the less food you get, right? You go to the Hamish wedding, they give you the big roll and the soup and right? And the plate, the real fancy, everything's small. It's fancy. Small portions. I have a small portion. That's all I have. So what am I can't eat. I'm going to break a bone. You're not allowed to, you have to eat it when you're full. So what you do is you bring a special carbon chagiga on the 14th. You eat that before. That's why we have the egg, by the way, right? That's what the egg represents, that chagiga siudalin. And then after I'm full from that, not completely full, I have to leave a little room, I have my piece of carbon Pesach. So the order is, as you see here, right? Here I go again. The order is min hazvachim umin apsachim. I hope that one day we'll be eating from the chagigas yudalid, the zvachim, which is a regular shlamim, and the carbon Pesach, which we eat afterwards for dessert. That's what's going to happen this year. We have to switch the order. And the reason is, actually, the two texts, two girsos, but many claim that we often do this. We, like Migdol and Magdil, okay, one of them is right, one of them is wrong, but we'll say this one is for Shabbos and this one for the weekday. We do the same thing here, but it makes sense, actually. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to slaughter a chagiga for no reason. The only thing that's doche Shabbos, that supersedes the Shabbos, overrides the Shabbos, is the Karban Pesach. That you're allowed to slaughter on Erev Pesach, Shechol B'Shabbos. But no Chagigas Yidalit. You have to figure out something else to get yourself full. So now, what's the order? Well, I don't need Zvachim at all, do I? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, tomorrow. You know what it refers to? The Karban Chagiga, the Shalmei Chagiga that you bring every Yontif. So you say Min HaPsachim, Umin HaZvachim. What does Zvachim mean? It all depends on the year. On a general year, it refers to the chagiga you bring on the 14th to get yourself full before the Karban Pesach. This year, Zvachim refers to the Karban I'm going to bring the next day on the 15th, which I actually have a whole week to bring, on Yontif, which is when you're all the regular, bringing a Karban. Okay. Here's the question. Baruch HaShulchan asks. I know I'm doing a lot of HaShulchan. I said it's on the Rav and on Rav Hirsch. We'll get there. So he says as follows. He says, why would I ask? Think about it. Look at this bracha. Hashem, you have redeemed us and our forefathers, and you gave. We have matzah and mar. Only matzah and mar now, right? Only matzah and mar. Cain, in the future, I want to have other holidays where sasim b'vinyan yirecha, v'sasim b'avodasecha, and we'll be able to eat. Okay, so I ask you, if you want to think about, oh, the future, an opportunity I'm going to have to eat from karbanos, why would you mention the chagigas yedalad? It's a practical, technical karbon. I would say, what we say this year, I would say it every year. I want to eat my carbon Pesach. I want to be ole regal and eat the carbon chagiga on the 15th. Why would I be asking, begging Hashem, pleading with him for the day? I'm looking forward to the day when I can have the extra carbon that's only there to make sure I'm full for the carbon Pesach. That's the question the Aruch HaShulchan asks. Listen to the answer. It is most fitting. Most fitting. I saw this just a day or two ago. Listen to this. He says, Va'af she'ein zehechrich. So beautiful. Even though there's no obligation, no mitzvah to bring a chagigas yudalid. Listen to this. She'ein oba elekishne beso merubin. It's only when there are so many people and you're only going to have a little piece of Korban Pesach. Amnam zehu etzem hatfila gamkein. She'nizke she'yu b'nei ve'senu merubim v'nitztarech lahavi gamach agigam ha'pesach. That's what he says. That's what he says. He says, last year, you were all asking, next year, in 5781, I want to bring a korban chagigas yudal. Do you know why? Because I want there to be so many people sitting at my Seder that there's not going to be enough korban Pesach for people to get full. There are children and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and great-grandchildren all sitting around the table. When will you bring us to that kind of Seder? We said that last year. That's the bracha. And therefore, every year, this is what it looks like. It's min hazvachim min hapsachim. I ask Hashem for a time when there are so many people sitting at the Seder that we're going to need a chagigos yedalid, because otherwise, everyone's going to have so little carbon Pesach, as so many people are sitting around the table. That's the bracha that we ask for every year. So now I'd like to move into a theme that really is going to take us through most of our discussion. Maybe I'll just end with make one other point with respect to. The other issue of our personal geula, etc., and then I'll go based on to develop something from the Rav. So what I have for you here is a fascinating approach to the Makos that is suggested by Rav Hirsch in his Haggadah. Rav Hirsch says that, and I often ask this question. I've asked this every year. I'm not going to repeat everything, because this is certainly has been recorded before, and I've mentioned before what we say at our Seder. I often ask everybody, what is the how many makos were there? And the answer, if you remember from my previous years, the answer is one. There's one maka. That's makas bechoros. The rest are not called maka. The rest are osos and mofsim, mostly mofsim, and they're there to show Hashem's power over the entire universe. And we're not going to discuss that, but there's much support for that approach. I'm going to share with you Rav Hirsch's approach. And what he says is that the Jewish people suffered in three different ways, three different categories, really, in Mitzrayim. And we have to be sensitive to and aware of all of them, because they are all part of the Golus experience. He speaks about Gerus, as you see here on this chart. He speaks about Avdus, right? Gerus is the fact that I feel like a ger, like a stranger, like a foreigner, like an alien. There's avdus, there's enslavement, and then there's inui, there's torture, there's suffering. And we know very well that you don't have to have all of them. There are times where a person can be live in a community, he's not being enslaved, there's no bondage, there's no suffering, but he feels alienated. He feels that he doesn't belong. He feels that people are not including him. There are times where we could have geirus and avdus, where we're enslaved, but you could be a slave, but you don't have to be tortured. And then you have inui. So I will say at the outset, I like things fitting into very exact categories. And when there's a little bit of a stretch, I find it difficult. But I think that we can work with what Rav Hirsch suggests. And I'm going to read a couple of things that he says. He says, in fact, the Ditzach Hadash Bacha, these three categories, the first letter of each follows this order, meaning there was actual retribution to the Mitzrim for each of these categories of suffering, so to speak, experiences that the Jewish people had. And he says as follows, and I'm going to read a little bit. He says as follows. He says, take Dom as an example. He says, on closer inspection, we can see that the nature of the three groups of plagues bears a close relationship to the galus suffering which the Egyptians inflicted upon Israel, namely alienage, enslavement, and affliction. Watch this. So he starts. He says, blood, wild beasts, right, as you see here, Arov, and hail and barad, impressed upon the Egyptians that they themselves were no more than aliens in their own land. In turn, they had no right to treat the children of Israel as strangers, depriving them of their rights. To fully understand, an alien is one who lives in a land not his own, only by the grace and sufferance of others. If so, what was it that caused the Egyptians to be so completely sure of their singular bond to their land that they, more than any other nation, could deem themselves free even of the grace of heaven? It was the Nile, their river. You inflict something, punishment on their river. This is not your home. This is not your territory. This is no more your territory than it is the people who you are enslaving, who you're making feel like they are aliens. The Nile made them feel at home. When you have wild animals, I want to walk out of my house. The streets are mine. You know how, you know, sometimes kids like walk across the streets. So unfortunately, we are walking in the middle of the street on a Shabbos. It's a Chilul Hashem. What do you own the streets? This is your territory. Well, when you can't walk outside because there are wild animals, so you lose your territory. That is Arov. Wild beasts give up territory to human habitation only as long as God banishes them. Let him annul his decree and the wild animals will come and invade the land. You ever go to camp, right? You come to the first week of camp, the deer or the other animals, they're hanging out. And then they realize, oh, the humans have come to take over. This is their territory. This is their territory. So that's also, what's Barad? The same. This was the first Makkah where they said, get inside, you and your animals. It's going to destroy you. You can't stay out to anyone. If you, Hayareis Devar Hashem, Heinis, everyone brought everything in. That is Geirus. What's Avdus? So listen to this. The second plague. He says, served to reveal to the Egyptians the self-deception underlying their enslavement of the Jewish people. The slave master believes that his tyranny over the slave has a justification. Firstly, because of the illusion he's a superior being. And secondly, because of the illusion of grandeur resulting from too much power and wealth. So what do we see here? That's exactly, why do I have the right to enslave? Because I'm a king, I'm a master, and you're a nobody. That's why, as a counterpoint to this arrogant self-delusion, the frog, an extremely shy animal, which ordinarily scurries into the swamps and reeds as soon as it sees human beings, now boldly entered human habitations and even dared to hop onto the sacred person of His Majesty Himself. He's in his bed. He's in the ovens. He's in the kneading troughs. This plague showed the Egyptians that even the smallest, most insignificant animal was not intimidated by them. What about lice? What about Dever? What's Dever? So if you take a look up here, the focus of Dever, interestingly, in the Pasuk is, and the only Makkah, by the way, that we discuss in greater length is Dever. B'yad chazaka zu ha-Dever. K'mar sh'neamar, hine yad Hashem ho-yob b'mikrasha v'asadeh, ba-susim, ba-chamorim, ba-gmalim, ba-bakar, uvatzon, Dever kaveimel. What made Dever so heavy? What made Dever so destructive? So this is what he says. They witnessed the destruction of their pride and glory, their horses, their beasts of burden, the camels, the donkeys, their source of wealth, the cattle and the flocks. And following on this theme is the Arbe, which is also their possessions. So what makes me great is my wealth, my arrogance, my mastery over you. So these three are keneged correspond to avdus. Inui, this is pretty obvious. Kinim, finally, the last plague, work to make visceral the pain and torment of affliction. So of course, here you have the kinim, which inflict them, and you have the shchin, which inflict them as well, the skin as well, and then choshech, which he says, interestingly, he says, when it comes to darkness visited upon the Egyptians, a gloom so thick, they were literally imprisoned wherever they happened to be when the plague occurred and were forced to go hungry for days. And so they remained hungry and frightened until the light of God was restored to them. So here you have these three experiences. And I think this is one other point, one more than any other, actually, which is probably the most mild of the three that may be most significant and connects us back to the beginning of the Seder. And that is the Gerus. And that is the Geri. Yeah, think about the promise, our old Geri Azaracha Beres Elohim V'avodim V'inu Osam. These are the three. These were all promised. They're going to feel like Gerim. They're going to feel the suffering. And they're going to be in bondage. All these three, and there was retribution for all three. The beginning of the Seder, when we begin our experience in Mitzrayim, we now recognize, what does it mean to feel alienated? What does it mean to feel like a ger? I'm living in the community. I thought this is even maybe the same faith community, and I just feel that I don't belong. People make me feel like I don't belong. So what do we have to do to counter out that? This is about joining forces. This is about a community. The Rav develops, I mentioned this earlier, the idea of Yom Kippur and Pesach being the two nights, the two highlights of experiencing the Shekhinah. He writes in Festival of Freedom. He speaks about the two Kabbalistic concepts of Chesed and Gvura. What's Chesed? Chesed is reaching out. Chesed is giving to others. Is kol dechvin yesev yechol. That's Pesach. What's Gvura? It's Tzimtzum. It's contraction. It's becoming where I become restrained, is where I move into my personal life. There's more introspection. I'm by myself. That's Yom Kippur. Two experiences, the experience of community, of minui, of registering on it in a chabura for a Karban Pesach, and then there's the gevura. Gevura means the strength, the ability of self-control. Tzimtzum is a Kabbalistic concept, the fact that Hashem had to use his might, his gevura, so to speak, kiviyachol, to somehow contract himself and conceal himself for the world to come to being and the world to exist. That's our Yom Kippur experience of the Shekhinah. So on the one hand, yes, in terms of community, it's true. It's time to reach out. We felt like Gerim, Kol Dechven Yesev Yechol. And I only feel that way when I'm reminded that Halach Ma'anyad Yachalu Avasana Dar Mitzrayim. How'd you feel when you sat in Mitzrayim? You felt like a ger. You felt like you didn't belong. And that night of Pesach, of Makas Bechos, when you actually ate matzah, you were free. There was no more inui. There was no more avdus, but there was still gerus. So don't let people feel like a ger. It's an experience and a holiday and a celebration of community, of chabura, of Karban Pesach, etc. That is critical. Maybe the most critical, because how often in the Torah do you see va'ahav temes ager ki gerim heyisem ve'eretz Mitzrayim? The mitzvah that we have, a mitzvah that's not about Pesach only, mitzvah that's not only Tesva of Yudalim and Tesva of Nisan. That's at all times because of our experience in Mitzrayim. So the last theme I'd like to develop, which is really the one I wanted to spend the most time on, is that of children. And I'd like to suggest tonight a new approach to the concept of children asking questions, what we call Heker Latinokos. The Gemara says in several places in Arve Psachim, the things that we do the night of the Seder in order to have children ask questions. Many things we do the night of the Seder. Everything that we do is different. We want children to ask. Rav Hirsch actually writes that it is our obligation as parents, as grandparents, to invite questions. He feels that is, we know, it's not, we don't need his haskama. We know that that's the way we're able, children develop. There's a curiosity, there's an interest. We're not afraid of questions. In fact, questions, if we invite question, means we're confident. If we invite in what we believe, if we invite questions, it means that we're interested in learning and in teaching. If we invite questions, it means that there's nothing to hide. And we like to share our thoughts and transmit this something important to our children. We don't want them to be curious. And no doubt that that's the way we should act, and that should be a theme of the night. So besides the theme of children asking questions, there's another idea which seems to be unrelated, but I'd like to somehow connect them. And that is the question that we ask, where is Moshe the night of the Seder? So many have raised this question, but I'm not sure if we've experienced this particular approach. Additionally, the idea of the matzah being the epicenter of the Seder, and yet chametz, which is something which is not appropriate for Pesach necessarily, maybe for Shavuos. What's the theme of matzah? So the Rav developed the following idea when it came to the concept of a shaliach. We say the night of the Seder, ani velo malach, ani velo saraf, ani velo ashaliach. So where is, right, we say that, I'll just share it with you. This is a big part of the Seder, is Vayotzin Hashem Mitzrayim. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo, only Hashem. And then we say ani velo hamalach, etc. So what's that about? And why is Moshe's name omitted? So does that mean that we have to be so heavily focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we're afraid to mention Moshe's name? Not necessarily. The Rav said there are two types of shlichim, of agents I can appoint. You can have an agent that you appoint, and that particular agent is going to carry out some type of task for you. And that makes sense. I have to have, I need someone to bring something to the bank for me. So he does so. And I need someone to deliver something else. They're going to Israel, so they're going to deliver the object to me. To a friend, to a family member. That's also fine. But what about if I have someone who's delivering something and they're actually in my stead? What we call shlucho shel adam kimosa. Take the shliach tzibur as an example. What's his job? What's his responsibility? What does it mean that he's a shaliach? he's carrying out a task for me. I don't want to do it, so I'm going to have someone else do it for me. So a shaliach tzibur, the kohen, when a kohen duchens, or a kohen does better service in the mikdash, the kohen gadol serves on Yom Kippur, what role is he playing? So the answer is, in that context, he's playing the role of me. Shlucho shel Adam kemoso. I am there. In fact, what's unique, what's a unique feature of Shlucho shel Adam kemoso? Where's the congregation when I appoint the Shaliach Tzibur? Where's the Tzibur? They're right there. They're congregating around the person who's their Shaliach. Where are Am Yisrael when the Kohen Gadol is going to the Beis HaMikdash? They're waiting in great anticipation right outside. They're waiting for the Kohen Gadol. We're in their presence. That's a unique feature where Shlucho shel Adam kemoso. Moshe is Hashem's Shaliach. He is Hashem's friend. Hashem says, when you speak, I am speaking. I am right next to you. When you are splitting the sea, I am splitting the sea. I am right next to you. Everything you do, I am doing. But we forget about that. We lose sight of that. So the reason Moshe's name is not mentioned is not because we don't believe Moshe was involved, but it's because we want everyone to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just send Moshe. Hashem is standing there. Moshe is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is standing. Hashem's the Tzibur. He's standing right there. You are my agent, but it is me that's doing everything. And in life, we often lose sight of that. We forget. And I read you the Rav when it comes to chametz. Listen to what he says about matzah. In Hebrew semantics, matzah signifies the unfinished, incomplete, immature, raw, underdeveloped, and instantaneous. It suggests to us the symbol of the naive child and his basic experience. On reaching ripeness of years, one must, in addition to being an intelligent adult, heroically identify oneself with the Yelid Sha'ashu'im, with the child of delight. Chametz, leavened bread, represents the finished, the perfect, the fully grown, the end of the process, the human being in full glory and majesty. But unfortunately, it can never bring man into the presence of God. Adult man is too practical-minded, too rational to trust his feelings and his intuitive questing, too impersonal to feel the living experience of fellowship with God. He's too proud, and his pride consists in the fact he's involved in the process of growth, ascent, etc. There has to be a child in each and every person. The night of the Seder, do you know why we have our kids ask questions? Because we need to be children. When your child asks a question, we need to be underdeveloped. We need to be matzah. We need to be unripe. We need to be immature. There's a little bit of our faith that we have to recognize with intellectual honesty we're not going to understand. There are things in life we will never comprehend. Be like a child. When a child asks a question, a five-year-old, and we say to them, I'm going to give you an answer now, but you're really not mature enough to get the full answer, I'll explain that to you when you get older. This is what we're supposed to be thinking. That's me. That's what I have to be doing. When I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu a question about what happened over the last 12 months and members of the community who are no longer here and experiences, tragic experiences and crises that we as a people, humanity or Am Yisrael is experiencing, or personal crises. So Hashem says, how did you answer your child? when he or she asked a question, you said, that's a very difficult question. I don't really have an answer to that question. A kid says, you know, what do I need math for? Right, what do I have to do? You know, I have to do math homework. So what do you say? Well, you may need math if you do this, maybe that. Nah, okay, what about history? Well, it may be important for this. And that. So I can stay home. You don't have a good answer. Can I stay home from school? No, go to school. Why? Because he needs to go to school. Because maybe I can't fully explain why you need to take history. But you need to go to school. I know better. You need to go to school. If we can answer our kids in that way, sometimes we don't always have the answers. And we recognize that they are underdeveloped. They're not, the cognitive ability is not what it is in a state of maturity. Then we stop and think, oh my goodness, I also have questions. And Hashem is giving me those answers. And he expects me to continue on with my faith, like that child does as well. That's the Heker L'Tinokos. That's why we're inviting questions. Because in the end, that's for us. The same way we speak about the Makos, for the Mitzrim, that they recognize the power of Hashem in the world. That's all true. And what about the Jewish people? Did we not need the same experience as well? And therefore, Chametz is not for this holiday. The Lachma Dehemnusa of the Zohar, the bread of faith, is the matzah. It's not developed. I have a lot of questions. And not everyone can, with all of the experience that all of the adults have at the table, they can't answer all those questions. And now the adult says, maybe I need a little bit of that naivete of the Yelid Sha'ashuim within me. And now I can move on and experience the Seder and have a strong, passionate belief despite some of the questions that I have. That's the child we need to be, we should be, the night of the Seder. We've learned a couple of things. We've learned about the importance of Kol Dechven Yeseh V'Yechol, the experience of feeling like an alien, feeling like an outsider, feeling like a foreigner. We should never allow others to feel that way. In our community, wherever we find them, we need to be, now that we have, hopefully within the next few months, the opportunity to begin inviting people, it has to be obviously safe, but it has to be with the understanding that there are people who are in need, who need a place. Kol Dechven, I only know that when I sit down at the Seder and I have that experience. Our personal galus, our spiritual galus, that the spiritual depravity that we've experienced in our own personal lives, our ups and downs. So it's time to find a solution for that too. It's fine to remove those chains through building the base habechira, making the right choices. Al kirim is bachacha l'ratzon, that it's a karban not for transgressions. It's a karban that's accepted, and it's al kirim is bachacha. It's not in Mitzrayim anymore. It's in the base hamikdash, in the base habechira l'chaper l'chol avodoseinu. And it should also be a night that we finally can say, maybe that of last year, min hazvachim min hapsachim. It's the zvachim. I wish I daven that every year from this year on, I should have to bring a chagigas yedalad, because there'll be so many people, family, friends, sitting around the table, and not enough carbon pesach for everyone because there'll be so many people. So we need a chagigas yedalad. This year, hopefully, we'll experience that when we switch the order. Min hapsachim u'min hazvachim. That's also a bracha. That I should be able to bring the Karban Pesach and the Chagigah of Tezva, that we could actually be Ola Regel to Yerushalayim, to that base HaBechira. And the naivete of children. The matzah, the unripe, the underdeveloped, the unleavened bread, to give ourselves the experience of a child, where children, they move on. They're able to move on. They're able to move past some of the obstacles and some of the questions, the inquiries they have that are not answered, and they move on. We have to be able to do the same, because that's part of faith. Part of faith is being the Yelid Sha'ashuim as a part of Hashem's people. So with that, I wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you for joining, and we all should have a safe